the News of the World is being closed down. In the past half hour, News International has announced that this Sunday's edition will be the last. Proceeds from the last edition will go to good causes. Here's part of what James Murdoch told staff in a written statement. The good things the News of the World does have been sullied by behaviour that was wrong. Indeed, if recent allegations are true, it was inhuman and has no place in our company. The News of the World is in the business of holding others to account, but it failed when it came to itself. Wrongdoers turned a good newsroom bad, and this was not fully understood or adequately pursued. This was not the only fault. The paper made statements to Parliament without being in the full possession of the facts. This was wrong. James Murdoch went on, "The company paid out-of-court settlements approved by me. I now know that I did not have a complete picture when I did so. This was wrong and is a matter of serious regret." The News of the World, as I say, will be closed down on Sunday. There are rumours The Sun will move to a seven-day-a-week operation. In PM in the next hour, we'll have full details and reaction. Now, the BBC News from Chris Aldridge.
The chairman of News International, James Murdoch, has announced that Sunday's edition of the News of the World will be the last following the furore over the phone hacking allegations. He said the company acknowledged that mistakes had been made and it was doing its utmost to fix them. Here's Jane Peel.
James Murdoch told staff that the News of the World was read by more people than any other English-language newspaper and had been going for 168 years. But this Sunday's edition would be its last, and all the proceeds would go to good causes. It is a remarkable development at the end of a day when the backlash against the newspaper continued to grow. More companies said they were withdrawing their advertising, among them Sainsbury's, Boots and O2. And the Royal British Legion suspended its campaigning with the paper on behalf of armed forces families, following claims that relatives of dead soldiers may have had their phones hacked.
In light of the latest phone hacking allegations, prosecutors have asked Strathclyde Police to look at evidence given by witnesses during the perjury trial of the former Scottish Socialist Party leader Tommy Sheridan. The News of the World's former editor Andy Coulson gave evidence at the trial in which he said he had no knowledge of phone hacking or payments to corrupt police. The Independent Police Complaints Commission has said that three investigations into the abduction and torture of a vulnerable man whose dismembered body was dumped in a lake in Bedfordshire were flawed. Three members of the same family were jailed for the murder of Michael Gilbert 2 years ago. Mark Worthington reports.
For years, Michael Gilbert was kept as a slave, beaten for entertainment, and hunted down when he tried to escape. He died aged 26 from his injuries, murdered by the household who'd taken him in as a vulnerable teenager. The police had been informed of alleged assaults and abductions on three separate occasions, but their investigations were flawed, said the IPCC today, due to misinformation, failures in communication and human error. In a separate report, a serious case review also found failings by those who should have supported Michael Gilbert after a difficult childhood.
In what's thought to be the first case of its kind, a man has been convicted of trafficking women out of the United Kingdom. Anthony Harrison, who's 32 and from East London, was jailed for 20 years for the trafficking and false imprisonment of two girls he brought from Nigeria. Woolwich Crown Court was told that Harrison kept the victims, aged 14 and 16, at his home and tried to take them to Spain and Greece to work as prostitutes. The European Court of Human Rights has ruled that British troops accused of the unlawful killing and ill-treatment of civilians in Iraq are governed by the Human Rights Convention. The judges in Strasbourg said that even when they're abroad, British forces remained under the jurisdiction of rules obliging countries such as the UK to safeguard the right to life and liberty. Surgeons in Sweden have carried out the world's first transplant using a synthetic organ. Scientists in London created the artificial windpipe for a 36-year-old man who is said to be recovering well. Here's our medical correspondent, Fergus Walsh.
The patient had cancer of the windpipe, which needed urgent removal. 3D scans were sent to University College London, who created a synthetic organ that would be an exact fit. The windpipe was flown to Stockholm and soaked in a solution of stem cells taken from the patient's bone marrow. After 2 days, the porous windpipe had been seeded with the patient's own tissue and was successfully transplanted at the Karolinska University Hospital. In the future, there are plans to use the material to create replacement arteries, heart valves, even skin.
The European Central Bank has raised its main interest rate by a quarter of 1% to try to control inflation. The increase to 1.5% is controversial at a time when a strong recovery is needed in debt-ridden countries such as Greece. The Bank of England has kept interest rates on hold at a record low of 0.5%.
Chris, thanks for that. It's been an interesting few minutes. In the past half hour or so, we heard rumours from a couple of reliable sources that there would be no advertisements in this Sunday's edition of the News of the World. Now, in a sense, that was hardly surprising, given that all day, big companies, household names have been publicly distancing themselves from the paper, saying they weren't interested in advertising in the News of the World anymore, at least not in the meantime, not until the outcome of the various inquiries into phone hacking. Then we heard that this Sunday's edition of the News of the World would be the last. I mentioned right at the start of the programme a statement issued by James Murdoch, the chairman of News International. Here are the key passages of it.
When I tell people why I am proud to be part of News Corporation, I say that our commitment to journalism and a free press is one of the things that sets us apart. Your work is a credit to this. The good things the News of the World does, however, have been sullied by behaviour that was wrong. Indeed, if recent allegations are true, it was inhuman and has no place in our company. The News of the World is in the business of holding others to account, but it failed when it came to itself. In 2006, the police focused their investigations on two men. Both went to jail. But the News of the World and News International failed to get to the bottom of repeated wrongdoing that occurred without conscience or legitimate purpose. Wrongdoers turned a good newsroom bad, and this was not fully understood or adequately pursued. As a result, the News of the World and News International wrongly maintained that these issues were confined to one reporter. We now have voluntarily given evidence to the police that I believe will prove that this was untrue, and those who acted wrongly will have to face the consequences. This was not the only fault. The paper made statements to Parliament without being in the full possession of the facts. This was wrong. The company paid out-of-court settlements approved by me. I now know that I did not have a complete picture when I did so. This was wrong and is a matter of serious regret. So just as I acknowledge we have made mistakes, I hope you and everyone inside and outside the company will acknowledge that we are doing our utmost to fix them, atone for them, and make sure they never happen again. Having consulted senior colleagues, I've decided that we must take further decisive action with respect to the paper. This Sunday will be the last issue of the News of the World. Colin Myler will edit the final edition of the paper. In addition, I've decided that all of the News of the World's revenue this weekend will go to good causes. While we may never be able to make up for the distress that has been caused, the right thing to do is for every penny of the circulation revenue we receive this weekend to go to organisations, many of whom are long-term friends and partners that improve life in Britain and are devoted to treating others with dignity.
Part of James Murdoch's statement to his staff at News International, as I say, issued in the last few minutes. Our media correspondent, Torrin Douglas, is here. Wow, Torrin.
Yes, I mean, this is totally remarkable. We were saying earlier on what could the News of the World do to try and put right all of the wrongs that had been done. So many people were reacting very, very strongly, advertisers pulling out, government, organisations, charities. This is what they have done, and it's the biggest thing they could have done. It's the old, it's a very old newspaper, 168 years. It's the biggest selling newspaper, and this Sunday's will be the last.
Why would, I mean, this must have been presumably sanctioned by Rupert Murdoch. This would not have been come from anywhere else, would it?
I'm sure that's the case, that this would not have been done without his say-so.
Is it true, I've heard it said previously, that he's less passionate about the News of the World than he is about the Sun? The Sun is the one he really cares about. It's more of his baby.
I think that's possibly true. He bought the News of the World, he created the Sun, or rather the Sun was a newspaper he bought and then turned into the Sun that we now know. So that is entirely believable, but this action really transcends all that. I think if it had been the Sun, they might have done the same thing. The fact was that this was a very damaged brand indeed, and when nobody wanted to advertise it, or far fewer people, where people didn't want to be associated with it, what other answer was there? This is a very bold move. What we wait to see is what happens after that. Will there be another Sunday newspaper from the organisation, another Sunday tabloid? What happens next? All sorts of questions.
Torrin, I know you have calls to make. Thank you for dropping by. Let's hear from Steve Hewlett, presenter of Radio 4's media show. What do you think, Steve?
Well, it's certainly a bold move and a clearly a dramatic one. It's hard to, I mean, at first reading, you know, it's a very serious move. It's hard to avoid, however, the sort of slight sense that this has got quite a lot to do with sort of corporate politics. I mean, in actual fact, the News of the World had been through a massive internal reinvention. It had actually put in place, I think, well, by common consent, were some of the strongest internal routines for protecting editorial quality and so on of anywhere in Fleet Street, and certainly anywhere in News International. And a lot of people have put an awful lot of very hard work into that. And the, you know, the Pakistani cricketers and Fergiana and all the rest of it. So, I mean, they believed, I think, that they had cleaned up their act. Now, in essence, therefore, this I think has to be seen. Was it the newspaper that advertisers were retreating from, or was it the company that was failing to show that it was dealing adequately with its own failings? Remember, the editor at the time that that Millie Dowler's voicemails were hacked was Vanessa Wade, now Brooks, and she is still. Sorry, yes, forgive me, Rebecca. She is still the chief executive of the company. Now, that strikes me is what really is driving advertisers away, rather than the News of the World itself in its current form.
Listen, stay with us, Steve. I've got Dave Wooding on the phone, the political editor of the News of the World. How did you hear the news?
I got a phone call from a colleague of mine. I was actually in a pub with an MP, picking up another stonking story for the paper for the weekend, when my colleague rang me and said, have you heard the news? Get back quick. I said, what is it? He said, just get back quick, check your emails. And I checked my email, and there was a long email from Mr. James Murdoch telling us that the News of the World was closing down.
What do you think?
I'm quite shocked, actually. I only joined the paper 18 months ago, and I've worked on a number of tabloid papers in my career, and loved my job, and I thought I've made a really great move. It's a fantastic paper. I mean, they cleared out all the bad people. They brought in a great new editor, Colin Myler, and his deputy, Victoria Newton, who had not been sullied by any of the things that had gone on in the past. And there's nobody there, there's hardly anybody there who was there in the old regime. The people are very clean, great, talented, professional journalists, and we pull out a great paper every week. And we're all paying the price for what happened 6 years ago, at least 6 years ago, by a previous regime.
Is it a little more than that? Do you think you're also paying the price for how your bosses have handled things, perhaps particularly this week?
Well, look, this has been a firestorm which has got bigger and bigger, and, you know, there were times when we were saying to each other, it can't get any worse than this. And it did get worse. But the problem was, and from speaking to my fellow executives, they didn't have any idea of some of these things that had happened, because, you know, the police are doing this massive inquiry into a private investigator who was used by people in the previous regime. And they found names and numbers on. And look, let's be straight. We don't know whether any of these people, some of these people, were hacked. Their names are on his notebook. He may have been doing an address check or something, for all we know. But anyway, for whatever reason this man was used, their names are now coming out through the investigation, and people don't like it. And I understand that. I mean, what went on in the past was absolutely appalling. But the tragic thing is for us, that we are a bunch of decent people working on a paper, doing our best every week to bring you a decent paper, and we're all being thrown out by this.
Are you in a job?
I don't know, yes. I'm in a taxi at the moment, heading from the House of Commons, where I ply my trade most of the day, to go to the office to try and find out what's happening.
I mean, I can tell you, we've just heard from a spokeswoman for News International who says News of the World employs 200 people. She refused to comment on how many would be made redundant. Quote, they will be invited to apply for other jobs in the company.
Well, look, can I put in a job application now, just in case?
There's talk of a Sunday Sun.
Well, I worked on the Sun. I worked on the Sun twice. I left it to go to work for Mirror Group for a few years, and then was offered another job there and went back. It's a great paper. I've worked on several tabloid papers, and I've never been out of work in my life, and this is the first time ever where I've suddenly got some uncertainty ahead of me in my career. And I am quite shocked, and some of my colleagues are very upset. We love the paper, and the people who read it love it. But quite rightly, people are angry by what happened in the past, and we, none of us ever knew that, we knew we knew from the trial when other people were cleared out and we were all brought in to try and turn the paper around and revitalise it, that things had been done badly in the past, but we didn't know quite as bad as this.
Thanks for joining us. Dave Wooding, political editor of The News of the World, contemplating his future. Let's hear from Alistair Campbell, who was Tony Blair's director of communications. What do you think of this turn of events?
I think it's a pretty big and fairly, you know, pretty shocking move. But I think that one day universities and colleges will study the crisis management of this whole issue by News International and just wonder they've allowed it to get to this. I think at every stage of this process, ever since the phone hacking scandal began a few years ago, they've handled it badly. I know Dave Wooding. I've known him for years, and I think, as he said, I think he's a good journalist and a good bloke. And there's quite a lot of them who tonight wondering what their future is. Because, and I think your question was right, it's not just the practices that happened then, it's also just been bad management. Everything in James Murdoch's statement, all the points that he made, at various stages, they could and should have dealt with this. And, you know, when you talk about how he wasn't given the full picture, being misled, shouldn't have been signing off the big out-of-court settlements and so forth, well, these are decisions that they took, and they took them in denial, which is how they've been facing this story ever since it began. And I think that, as a former journalist, I don't rejoice over the death of a newspaper, but I do think that this is just the result of all the illegal activity, but also the huge mismanagement of it ever since it started.
Do you think this does, well, what do you think this does for the jobs of people like Rebecca Brooks?
Well, I think people, again, will find that extraordinary that you've got these 200 journalists now insecure about their jobs, whereas the people who presided over it appear to be secure in their jobs. And I also think that, I mean, what I do wonder as well is that whether this isn't all a bit tactical in relation to the B Sky B situation, that they want to be seen now to be taking this far more seriously than they have up to now, so that the government can give them the go-ahead in relation to the B Sky B deal. But I think as this story develops and it goes on, the public will find that more and more unfathomable, let alone unacceptable.
Alistair Campbell, thanks for joining us. Just want to grab a quick word, if I can, once again with Steve Hewlett, who I hope is still standing
still
by.
Here.
Not least Steve, because you're the only person on the programme who's not in a taxi. What do you think of all that?
Well, look, Alistair Campbell, it strikes me that Alistair Campbell is right. But, well, it's interesting that Dave Wooding reflects, I think, what I said to you a minute ago, that, you know, they have cleared, actually, internally, they think they've cleared it out. There are people there done a lot of work to clean up its act. And, you know, this is really a hangover from history. That what the people who are there now are suffering from, actually, is not so much what happened in the past. And that happened. There's nothing they can do about that. It's the way that the thing's been managed. And remember, as I say, you know, Rebecca Brooks was the editor at the time that Millie Dowler's phone messages were hacked, and she's still the editor. I don't know if there's time for this, but I got a call today, and I was going to put this story out tomorrow, but since this has happened...
Since you're on, why not?
We could do it now. This was a very, very senior insider from Wapping, and this he said various things to me along the lines of, and these are quotes, "The place is falling apart, the wheels are coming off, there's open mutiny amongst senior non-editorial executives. There are lots of things just not happening. The only person inside this building who thinks she should still be in that chair is Rebecca Brooks, and the only person outside is Rupert Murdoch. There is barely disguised fury that she's shafted Andy," that's Andy Coulson, "it amounts to betrayal. While she's there, we can't get on and rebuild. The longer she stays, she multiplies the damage for everybody else. If this carries on, she's in danger of bringing the whole industry down. She has to go. Murdoch losing his judgment. No one's prepared to say to him she's got to go. As for the ludicrous suggestion that she investigates herself, it's laughable." Now, that was the mood inside Wapping just earlier today. And so it strikes me that what was brewing internally, and one can't separate this from the corporate politics, was an internal demand that Rebecca Brooks had to stand down. And this, I imagine, it seems it's a remarkably big thing to do, given that questions about the way the company has handled this will persist so long as she's still in that job.
Steve, for now, thank you very much. Steve Hewlett, presenter of Radio 4's media show, talking about tonight's main news, the fact that the News of the World is closing down. This Sunday will be the final edition. Let's hear live from the Shadow Culture Secretary, Ivan Lewis. Are you pleased?
You know what? I'm not really. I mean, there's some really good guys who work at the News of the World right now, including Dave Wooding, who you spoke to earlier. And I feel
you don't think the world's a better place without the News of the World.
I feel genuinely sorry for those people. They're paying the price, though. Let's be clear what they're paying the price for the past. And the past in two ways. One is those people who hack the phones of people like Millie Dowling, the families of the victims of 7/7, and the families of the brave service men and women who gave their lives for this country in Afghanistan, Iraq. But they're also paying the price for a company at the highest levels that was so arrogant, so failed in its responsibilities to take the allegations seriously and clean out the stable. And they today are paying the price for the failures of those people. And the closure of the News of the World should not allow those people to remove themselves to facing up to the responsibilities they have for what has taken place on their watch.
I want to ask you about that. Can you bear with us one second? I want to bring in Zach Goldsmith, MP, who's given evidence previously to the PM Privacy Commission, has a strong interest in injunctions and the behaviour of the press. Do you rejoice at the closure of the News of the World?
Yeah, look, it's obviously it's obviously very, very sad and traumatic for a lot of people who had absolutely no role in the kind of seediness that we've been hearing about recently. But it's got to be a good day for Britain. I think the News of the World as an organisation is toxic on almost every level. So I think the country after Sunday will be a better place. I can't deny that I feel that way. I think it's an organization which has corrupted our police. It's made it impossible for people to have faith in our police, which is a really important thing for people to have. I think it's weakened Parliament systematically over the years, and particularly governments. It's damaged democracy. And I think its very existence has decivilized our society. I think it's extraordinary that the News of the World has been the voice of politics. It's set the political agenda in many ways for years. And I think that brings, shame on Parliament, shame on all of us.
Would much change, I'll get Ivan Luce's view on this in just a second, but Zach Goldsmith, would much change if, as rumoured, the same company, News International, with, at the moment, the same people at the top, simply starts selling The Sun on Sundays?
Look, I think a whole load of people in the News of the World, indeed in the whole organisation, probably ought to stand trial, and probably a large number of them ought to end up in jail for really engaging in widespread corruption and criminality. So I feel very strongly about that. Will things change? I think, yes, they will change. I mean, who knows what the plans are at the organisation? Will there be a replacement paper? I imagine so. But I think what's happened in the last few days particularly will have really shocked the media, the media clique in this country. And I think we will see a culture change. I certainly hope so. I think it's high time that that happens. And I think this has been so dramatic that it's almost impossible to predict where things are going to go. But there will be changes. I have no doubt about that.
Just out of interest, and finally, this is the last edition of the News of the World this Sunday. News International says the proceeds will go to good causes. Will you buy it?
Will I buy it? That's a very good question. Maybe it's something to show my children when they're older how awful newspapers have been in this country, as a memento, a symbol of the very depths to which newspapers can sink, possibly, as a reminder, perhaps, that the country, has had its low points. But who knows? I'll have to make that decision later. I've never bought it before because I've never wanted to contribute to what I've regarded to be a sinister and bad organisation, and I may just break the rule this Sunday. We'll see.
Zach Goldsmith, thank you for that. Ivan Luce, what should happen next in terms of, well, not just the inquiries, which will probably be some way down the line, but in terms of what should happen to those senior figures at News International? The suggestion already on PM that one person's keeping her job, but perhaps scores of others are losing theirs.
Well, I think, first of all, anybody who's been involved in criminal activity needs to be brought to justice. The police investigation this time must be thorough. People must appear before the courts and they must be subject to justice. Secondly, those people who held senior positions in the organisation at the time either knew this was going on or authorised it or didn't do anything about it, they must be held to account as well and they must consider their position. That's different than a test of criminality, but that's what responsibility and accountability means at every level of our society, including those people at the top.
Thank you very much for joining us, Ivan Luce. By the way, just want to let you know that Steve Hewlett will be around with a media show special tomorrow from midday here on Radio 4. That's a media show special from midday tomorrow here on Radio 4. Let's hear now at 5:25 on PM from Michael Wolfe, author of The Man Who Owns the News, Inside the Secret World of Rupert Murdoch. Are you planning another publication?
Yeah, you know, it does seem like it. I think everybody who writes about Rupert always feels that he's at the end of the line, and this may be the end of the line, but it is a dramatic one.
Why do you think he's done it?
I think because he's scared out of his wits. I think that they do not know how to contain this scandal. I think that they are looking at something that is threatening to threatening to them personally, threatening to the business, threatening to everything that they've built. And I think that they would do anything at this point to stop it in its tracks. And this is the most dramatic thing that they can think of. But the question is, of course, will it in fact work? And this is the thing with scandals that have gone on for a long time, scandals that don't go away, that they reach a point in which you cannot stop them.
Would this have happened without his desire to own all of B Sky B? Is that what this is really about?
I think, let me put it this way. Obviously, this happened because people in his employ and possibly with his knowledge did things that that are absolutely unacceptable to law-abiding people everywhere. Having said that, I think that there is a structural condition here, which is that there has always been an anti-Murdoch faction or population within the UK, which has not been able to find its voice. You know, Murdoch has beaten it down, has won in every contest with this anti-Murdoch group, and finally they have a weapon, and this weapon is to say here's proof positive that this organization, this man in this organization, do things which we should say no to.
Do you think finally, Michael Wolfe, this has damaged Rupert Murdoch irreparably? I mean, your book was The Man Who Owns the News. Do we own him now?
Well, yeah. I mean, that is the question. How far does this go? Can he stop it? Because how far as it goes, where it stops at his door. Will it get that far? And I think nobody knows this, but the most interesting thing is now people are willing to ask this question and consider this possibility.
Right.
So the answer is yes. Rupert Murdoch, a man who has never been vulnerable before, is now quite vulnerable and possibly naked.
Thank you for joining us, Michael Wolfe. Brian Paddock was Deputy Assistant Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police. It's alleged he had his phone details collected as early as 2002. What do you think of Rupert Murdoch naked?
Yeah, I'm trying to get that thought out of my head, Eddie, to be honest with you. No, I mean, I don't quite know what's going on here. Is it a commercial decision because they realised they were losing all their advertisers, maybe some of their readers? Is it because Murdoch is so desperate to get his hands on Sky that he thinks by ditching News of the World that might make it more possible for that to happen? Are they trying to evade their legal liabilities, at least as far as civil actions are concerned? There's all sorts of possible explanations here. But my concern, putting my libertarian hat on, is that the News of the World did do some investigative journalism that was in the public interest. It's not going to be there to do that anymore. And if, as other people have said, that this sort of activity was endemic across all sorts of other newspaper titles, how many other newspapers are going to go this way? And what are we going to be left with?
Here's a thought from one of our listeners, Anthony Dunn, who says, we're all falling for a classic Murdoch tactical response. This weekend will be the last publication of the News of the World. Next weekend, the first publication of The Sun on Sunday. Same staff, same editorial line, same dubious morality.
Well, I have to say, walking across the river to get here to
you
talk.
You walked across the river? That'll be front page news.
I used the bridge. I did think that this was going to be the last Sunday for the News of the World, and sometime in the future there would be a new title. Mm. But who knows?
Thanks very much for joining us. Much more on the story in the next half hour. Of course, the news is next. And right here at 8 o'clock, it's The Report with Simon Cox.
Last week, consultants at one of the country's leading children's hospitals urged the government to order the hospital's managers to commission an independent inquiry into how it's treated whistleblowers. Doctors say they're being suspended, disciplined or bought off when they raise concerns about patient safety. We hear from some of the doctors who've suffered after exposing problems. We investigate how hospitals use gagging clauses to silence them and look at how much it's costing the NHS. That's The Report, tonight on Radio 4 at 8.
This is PM on BBC Radio 4. I'm Eddie Mayer. Chris Aldridge has the news.
News International has said this Sunday's edition of the News of the World will be the last, following the furore over the phone hacking allegations. The chairman of News International, James Murdoch, has issued a statement saying the good things the tabloid has done have been sullied by behaviour that was wrong. He went on to say that if recent allegations were true, the behaviour was inhuman and has no place in our company. Number 10 said closing the News of the World, which was founded in 1843, had to be the right decision. Speaking on this programme, the paper's political editor, David Wooding, told us he was in shock.
There's hardly anybody there who was there in the old regime. The people are very clean, great, talented, professional journalists, and we pull out a great paper every week. And we're all paying the price for what happened 6 years ago, at least 6 years ago, by a previous regime.
Prosecutors have asked Strathclyde Police to look at evidence given by witnesses during the perjury trial of the former Scottish Socialist Party leader Tommy Sheridan. The News of the World's former editor, Andy Coulson, gave evidence at the trial in which he said he had no knowledge of phone hacking or payments to police. The Independent Police Complaints Commission says three investigations into the abduction and torture of a man whose dismembered body was dumped in a lake in Bedfordshire were flawed. Three members of the same family were jailed for the murder of Michael Gilbert 2 years ago. Mr. Gilbert, who was 26, had been taken in as a vulnerable teenager and kept as a slave. Two dissident Republicans have won their appeals against a ruling by a civil court which found them liable for the Omagh bombing 13 years ago. One of them, Colm Murphy, will face a retrial. The second, Seamus Daly, will be considered for a retrial. Two other men had their appeals dismissed. Surgeons in Sweden have carried out the world's first transplant using a synthetic organ. Scientists in London created the artificial windpipe for the 36-year-old man who is said to be recovering well. Now, the financial markets in London, the 100 share index closed up 52 points at 6,055. A short while ago in New York, the Dow Jones was up 75 points at 12,701. Against the dollar, the pound is trading at $1.60, and against the euro, it's at €1.11, making the euro worth 90 pence.
More on tonight's main news. Our political editor Nick Robinson joins me. What do you think?
Well, it's extraordinary news, Eddie, isn't it? It was clear that something had to give, but I have to say I thought the something would be a someone. In other words, that Rebecca Brooks, chief executive of News International, former editor of the News of the World at the time of some of these allegations, was likely to go. And in fact, Rupert Murdoch chose the woman and chose instead to get rid of the newspaper, though, of course, it may yet emerge under a simply under a different name. I mean, I think the question politically is whether this lifts the problem for the government or simply makes them more serious, because it seems to me that Rupert Murdoch is sacrificing one bit of his empire, at least one name of his empire, to try and protect his television ambitions. Remember that newspapers account, I'm told, for around 13% only of the worldwide sales of News Corp, worldwide business, I'm sorry, of News Corp. His keenness is to expand in television, and that means that the government will still face a decision on whether to allow a takeover of British Sky Broadcasting. They may be able to delay that until the autumn, but that will still be as difficult a decision as it is today.
Where does it leave David Cameron?
Well, David Cameron's difficulty is that he is now associated with the past, the tainted past, because of his decision to hire Andy Coulson and because of his friendship with Rebecca Brooks. And yet he also has responsibility for the future, that decision on whether to allow British Sky Broadcasting to be taken over 100% by Rupert Murdoch. Now he will insist that he didn't know anything about what was going on when he hired Andy Coulson, that he sought assurances and accepted them, but some will, look, you were warned, you should have kept well away. On the future, he will insist that proper process, due process is being followed, that he personally has nothing to do with any of this, that he's delegated it to his culture secretary who's operating in a quasi-judicial role. But politics is politics, Eddie. None of that will make it any easier for him.
Thanks, Nick. Let's talk to a politician, the Conservative MP John Whittingdale, who chairs the Culture, Media and Sport Select Committee. You will be as surprised as most people will have been. What do you think happens next?
Oh, well, first thing is that it doesn't change anything in terms of the police investigation. We still need to get to the bottom of what went on, who authorised it, who knew it, and if necessary, prosecutions should follow.
But should Rupert Murdoch's critics ease up on him now?
Well, I still think we need to find out exactly what happened. I think it is a measure of the damage that this was doing, just not just to the News of the World, but to the whole News Corp operation, that he's taken this very dramatic step, although it may well be that in due course another Sunday tabloid and News Corp's ownership may emerge. But nevertheless, I mean, this clearly is an intention to take this very dramatic action to try and draw a line.
Do you think that Rebecca Brooks's job has been saved so that lots of other people's jobs can be sacrificed?
Well, I mean, I think that depends very much on the outcome of the police investigation. The important thing is that we find out the truth about these phone hacking allegations, and we need to find out who authorised them and who knew about them. And that respect, if it was shown that Rebecca Brooks was editing a paper which was behaving in this way, I don't think it changes anything. I think her position is still obviously very difficult.
John Whittingdale, thank you very much for that. Let's hear from Charlotte Harris, who's a solicitor with Mishkon Durea, representing, a number of phone hacking victims, is that right?
Yes, that's right. We've been working on this for a very, very long time, so it's very big news.
How did you hear?
Do you know, everything came through so quickly, it's difficult to remember how I heard. I think the first person who got through was Sky, funnily enough.
Bless them.
I think somebody at Sky sent me a text message saying, oh, I can't tell you what they said. But it was quite funny.
Well, I'm intrigued, but I'm going to take your word for it that you can't tell us what you said.
And they got a cheeky response back.
Okay, probably better not. We've had an email from Veronica Harrison, one of our listeners, who says, I've just entered my 70th year, and barring the end of the war, the closure of the News of the World must be the best thing that's happened in our country in my lifetime.
Oh, what a wonderful thing for her to say.
Do you agree with that?
Look, I think that you have to look at the big picture with it. If it improves society, if the right decisions are made, and it is absolutely, there's a huge public outcry this week, and if people have made a decision and the public have spoken and said, look, this is absolutely wrong, we're just not doing it, and it seems from the statement released from News International, they're saying, you know, basically, it's all gone too far. I take what is being said about B-Sky B and Rebecca Brooks and so on into the mix. But at the end of the day, look, it's the right decision. And going forward, if we end up with a better and fairer media, then it's a great thing, because media is so important.
Do you have some sympathy for Dave Wooding and his colleagues? Mr. Wooding is political editor of the News of the World. He was on our programme earlier, pretty shocked at the news, and saying, in essence, that he and the current staff at the News of the World are being punished for the misdemeanours of people who've been cleared out.
Look, there must still be some people there who know and remember what happened. I mean, it's not like there's nobody there who was there at the time, but I do think that as a journalist, when you become a journalist, you want to work for a paper that you can be proud of. You don't want to be in a position where you're, you write something and your byline's in a particular paper.
But they
and
are,
people
but,
don't
but,
take it
but
seriously.
He is proud. He is proud. He told us that.
Oh, he's, right. I didn't
know.
It's
a great paper to work.
Just...
No, no reason why he should have done. You were probably talking to Sky. But he is proud to work there. And isn't that a fair point? He started the job 18 months ago and feels he's being punished for the misdemeanors of predecessors.
Well, I have to say that I appreciate that he says that he's proud, but the information that I've got from the many journalists who I speak to who also work on some of the other Murdoch papers was that they were being tarred with this rather grubby brush of this, awful set of, set of actions from before, and that I imagine there'll be some relief. But do I think that they should be responsible for what's happened now? It must be very difficult for those who weren't involved to be in a position where they've lost, they've lost their job.
Charlotte Harris, thank you so much. Charlotte Harris is a solicitor with Michecon de Rea, representing a number of phone hacking victims. Andrew Neil used to edit the Sunday Times. What do you think of this turn of events?
Well, I think Mr. Murdoch must have concluded that the reputational damage to the News of the World was so far that it was now beyond repair. I wouldn't underestimate the pain this has caused him, not just financial, but emotional. Let's remember, the News of the World was the first paper he bought in this country, and it's from the News of the World that everything else stemmed. He put up a huge battle against Robert Maxwell to get it. It's the kind of journalism he's always loved more than any other kind. He was always attacking me for attacking the tabloids, and he was always the first to defend his tabloids. It's a huge decision for him, so he must really have concluded that the paper could not be saved.
Just hearing that the web addresses thesunonsunday.co.uk and thesunonsunday.com were registered by persons unknown 2 days ago.
Yes, well, there's a surprise. Mr. Murdoch is beyond par when it comes to taking an opportunity out of a crisis. The News of the World is now too tainted. He's concluded to survive. But I don't think that means there isn't going to be a Red Top Sunday Murdoch. And remember, we now live in an age where newspapers in general, in terms of going out to buy them, are in decline. And the Red Tops, above all, are in decline. That's the part of the newspaper market that is declining more than any other. So going to a 7-day-a-week operation would be far more economic than having the Sun and the News of the World. So I don't have inside information on this, Eddie, but I would be very surprised if you did not see the rise of the Sunday Sun in the very near future. It will probably sell nothing like the News of the World, because that was a huge brand, but it will be a lot more economic than having two separate newspapers.
And by the way, I'm hearing that the Culture Secretary, according to sources close to him, didn't have inside information either, wasn't given any prior warning about the News of the World ceasing publication. He learned of it from the media. Would this have happened, do you think, had the B-Sky B deal not been in the offing?
Well, I think, of course, Mr. Murdoch has been watching from New York in great despair, and other parts of America too. I think he's out at a conference now on media. And there is no question that a head of steam has been building up, being led by the opposition to try and stop the, or at least delay or freeze his takeover of the 60%. So, of the B Sky B that he doesn't own. And of course, that is worth a lot of money to him. It's worth a lot more than the News of the World, and that's worth quite a lot to him, Eddie. So I think, you know, any piece of red meat that can be thrown to the wolves if it saves B Sky B is certainly going to be given, particularly if there's a plan B in the form of the Sunday Sun. I think he felt he had to do some sort of gesture. Whether that will work, of course, is another matter. My understanding is that the opposition is going to go very strong to get a delay on the B Sky B takeover, and that there are those, I'm told, within the government who would like to find a way of at least delaying it if it didn't lead to judicial review.
One final thought. You spend a lot of time on the Daily Politics and elsewhere talking to politicians. It's been suggested that something has changed this week about how politicians, members of Parliament in particular, view Rupert Murdoch and whether or not they're prepared to publicly stand up and say bad things about him. Do you think something has changed?
I think it's been a watershed, is my sense of this. It is certainly true under Mrs. Thatcher, then Mr. Blair and Gordon Brown and David Cameron, that there was a feeling that although you didn't necessarily need have to have Mr. Murdoch to get elected or re-elected, it sure did help. And that is why they all traipsed to his door at one time or another, and there was huge two-way traffic between News International and whoever was in Downing Street, Labour or Conservative. I think there's a growing feeling now among the political classes, certainly the ones that I speak to, that just about the worst endorsement you could have if you were standing for election would be to say, I'm supported by Rupert Murdoch and his newspapers. That is what we call a watershed.
Andrew Neil, thank you. Alan Lauder emails to say, Eddie, I've been reading the Sunday Sun for more than 30 years. It's the sister paper of the Newcastle Journal. Surely we can't have another one. Well, you're probably right, and that's why perhaps the sunonsunday.co.uk and the sunonsunday.com have been registered, as I was saying, in the last couple of days by persons unknown. Let's get the news headlines, 5:45. We're going to talk to Lord Prescott in just a second. First, here's Chris with an update.
The News of the World is being closed down after a growing backlash over the phone hacking scandal. This Sunday's edition will be the paper's last, 168 years after the tabloid first went on sale. But its publishers, News International, which also owned The Sun, haven't ruled out launching an alternative Sunday title. The former Deputy Prime Minister, Lord Prescott, who alleges his phone was hacked, said he believed the decision to scrap The News of the World was a gimmick.
Well, let's hear from Lord Prescott. I'm trying to imagine you dancing a jig. Is that what you did when you heard this news?
No. Chucked like everybody else, but it's a typical management that Murdoch always, the managing of the news, he's done this right through when it started from when they first hacked into the Royals, saying it was just a one rogue report, and now seem to believe it's one rogue newspaper. It's not. It's far more prevalent than that, and cutting off the arm doesn't mean to say you've solved it. There's still the body and the head in the same culture, and that's why there has to be a public inquiry into it. You can't imagine the kind of offences these people have been doing for so long, and I cannot accept for a moment that the top of the company, even Mr. Murdoch, certainly Rebecca Broads, didn't know what was going on. Nobody believes that, and now some poor suckers in the News of the World are going to be put on the dole simply because they've decided to make a cost-cutting exercise, which they said they were going to do a week or so ago, and close down the News of the World.
So you've got some sympathy for some News of the World journalists?
Well, there's a lot more on papers than journalists, quite frankly. I've got no sympathy whatsoever those journalists who've been up to these antics. But you know, there are people and workers whose lives are dependent upon it. There's Rebecca Woods. She's told to investigate, and Mr. Murdoch said that. I'm going to appoint her, only yesterday, to investigate the offences that went on the News of the World while she was the editor. I mean, he's just given, frankly, he's still got two fingers of contempt for our laws, for our culture, and the way we operate in this country.
But did you read in some detail what James Murdoch's statement was saying? I mean, it seems pretty contrite in some places.
Well, give us a bit of it. No, I didn't read it, but I think I don't think he's as influential as his father. He seems to be controlled by Rebecca Wade. But what was the point that impressed you? Not how much of it has ever done with me.
Well, I'm just flicking through it here. The good things the News of the World does have been sullied by behaviour that was wrong. Indeed, if recent allegations are true, it was inhuman and has no place in our company. The News of the World is in the business of holding others to account, but it failed when it came to itself.
Yeah, but who was running it? Who was giving the decision? We know the guys who did it, but some went to jail for it, and it's gone more and more. These horrible offences we hear now in regard to, you know, the troops and the Mully case. In those circumstances, who was paying the money for the stories? Presumably editors were involved, and the editor now is the chief executive inside that company. Coulson, we don't know. It looks as if they're about to throw him to the wolves. But nobody has gone yet. Only the poor old workers have got their redundancy notices tonight. So typical. All the Indians, no chiefs.
But you give him no credit at all for closing down the newspaper, which has caused you such offence.
It's not the paper. People buy the paper. It's what they were doing to get the news and the stories. That was quite illegal activities. And people who've been buying the paper, I haven't, but they buy the paper. They probably like the stories that are in it, fine, but they can't be, and they don't want them actually taken from the relatives of troops or murder cases that were investigating, which they interfered with. You hear what the readers are feeling about that now. It isn't the paper. It's the people who run it, and the people who run it and own it have not owned up to their responsibility.
Just one final thought. You don't buy the paper. I was asking Zach Goldsmith this earlier.
Yeah.
Given that this Sunday will be the last, and perhaps more importantly, that the proceeds will go to good causes, will you buy it?
Well, no, I certainly won't buy it. I wouldn't even take it if you give it to me. I think most people should say they wouldn't touch it. I've been advocating, don't just one day don't buy it, don't buy it at all. And I think the advertisers pulling out, and a lot of people who said we don't want to go anymore, they are affecting the income. Don't forget, it was the son that got caught up in the Hillsborough affair when he said some terrible things under a man called Mackenzie, who was the editor. And they had to apologise for the things they said about Liverpool supporters. But the point is, the purchase of the Sun went down, and it continues to do so. That's the sister paper, The Sun. I don't believe the culture of The Sun and the Sunday Sun, if it comes. It's the culture you've got to worry about, the people who run it, not necessarily the paper.
Thank you, Lord Prescott. Getting some information from an anonymous employee at the News of the World, a source who can't be named, said that when Rebecca Brooks announced the newspaper was closing, she was not crying. There have been some reports in the past hour that she was. And she was accompanied by security. She's said to have told staff, who were shocked, that she was proud of the newspaper's long history, but that they were closing. She's said to have been out the door again within a couple of minutes. The source wasn't at the meeting, but this is what the source has been told by colleagues. Let's catch up with Max Mosley, the former head of Formula One's governing body, the FIA, who's perhaps got more reason than most to rejoice at the closure of the News of the World. I wonder whether you are rejoicing.
Well, rejoicing is probably the wrong word, because it's only one small step in the whole thing, because we've now got to a situation where what's needed is a full judicial inquiry into what went on, because it's not just the stories, it's also the relationship of the newspaper with the police. It's the way in which they knew that they'd done this for years, and they actually lied the whole time. They continually denied it. And all of this only came out because a lot of individuals sued them, private individuals with private money, and gradually forced truth out. But it's extraordinary the way they simply went on doing what they were doing. And the idea that people didn't know, or that the staff didn't know, or the latest thing they're trying to say is it's all new people, when the chief reporter, for example, Tolbeck, has been there since the 90s. And the editor and so on in charge, Rebecca Woods, Rebecca Wade now, and Brooks now, she's still there running the whole thing. She was absolutely in it up to her neck.
Just on the question of rejoicing at this, I mean, this is a paper which perhaps you don't agree with this, but it might appear to many outsiders that if it didn't ruin your life, it certainly damaged it, it changed it irreparably. You're telling me you're not very pleased it's closing down?
Well, I'm very pleased. I mean, it won't make any difference to me. Unfortunately, what they've done to me is done. I can't undo it. What is good is to know that they're not going to be able to do it to anybody else. And that's very pleasing, because that sort of intrusion into your privacy is horrible if you're the victim. It's a bit of light entertainment for people on a Sunday morning who are not involved, but for those involved, it's terrible. And it is a matter for rejoicing that a newspaper that was prepared to do that will no longer appear, very much so.
Max Mosley, thank you. Let's hear from Tom Watson, the Labour MP for West Bromwich East, who's made much of the running on all of this, making very high-profile statements and asking difficult questions in the House of Commons. What do you think of this?
Well, I don't think it's James Murdoch that's closed this newspaper. I think it's families up and down the land who've shown their revulsion for the last few days about the sort of egregious invasions of privacy of Millie Dowler's family. And I don't think this paper had a future anyway. I don't think anyone was going to buy it anymore, and no one was going to advertise in it. So they had no choice. And it's kind of, you know, a bit of, it's the inevitable, really. What's still got to happen is senior executives in this organisation have got to take responsibility for what happened. There are only two people left on the planet who want Rebecca Brooks to stay and work, and that is David Cameron and Rupert Murdoch. If they really want this anger to subside, I think people want the senior people to take responsibility.
It's not enough that the entire newspaper is closing down.
I think it's irrelevant. I don't think it had a future anyway. Who was going to buy it? No one wanted to be associated with that paper anymore. It destroyed itself.
What do you think should happen now in terms of the inquiries that are planned? Should the timetable for those, vague though they are, should they carry on as planned, or should things change?
There's a criminal. The criminal inquiries need to take place as quickly as possible. Criminal inquiries, but what we need now is a public inquiry, judge-led, because politicians haven't been able to get to the truth in the past. And a judge-led inquiry will allow us to establish the facts, get to the truth, so that we can make sure that incidents like this never happen again.
Thank you very much for that. We're going to talk to Don Foster in just a second, the Liberal Democrat MP who speaks for his party on culture and the media. But I want to turn first, if I may, to Mark Lewis, the solicitor representing the family of Millie Dowler. The News of the World is closing down after this Sunday. What do you think?
Well, I think one has to be very careful about it closing down. I'm sure there's going to be... Look, it wasn't just the title. The title didn't commit any crimes. The title didn't do any of the hacking. It was individuals and it was management of the company who undoubtedly were aware of it.
And you don't think closing the paper is a sign of how seriously Rupert Murdoch and others at News International and News Corporation are taking this?
Well, it depends whether you call it closing down a paper or rebranding. I mean, one has to wait and see what happens. But, you know, whilst there are honest, good honest journalists and good honest people who will be losing their jobs, there will be people who stay in control of the company. Rebecca Brooks was the editor at the time when the Dowlers were mentioned, and she's still working in News International.
But she said time and time again she didn't know about it.
Well, she might have said that, but there's going to be a full inquiry, a full investigation, and then we'll see the position. I can't comment further than that.
Thank you. Don Foster, what do you think?
I think this is undoubtedly a commercial decision. As we've just heard, it's going to affect many staff who had nothing to do with the phone hacking scandal whatsoever. And the end of the News of the World doesn't change the situation. The issues go far deeper, and that's why Tom Watson's absolutely right. The police investigations need to continue, and we need to have the two inquiries into the issue of what happened in the newspaper in terms of reporting, and separately, the links between journalists and the police.
Don Foster, thanks for that. Our reporter John Minnell has been talking to News of the World staffers about how they heard the news.
I've just been speaking, Eddie, to somebody I know through covering this story who has told me that 70% of the staff around him in the newsroom were in tears.
Can we hear some of that? I think we can. No, we can't. Tell me more about what they say.
Yes, I've been speaking, Eddie, to somebody who was actually in the newsroom as I was chatting to him. He said 70% of his colleagues around him were in tears. He explained how they were all called into a meeting around 4:30 this afternoon and addressed by James Murdoch and Rebecca Brooks. He said the meeting was very short and sweet. Of course, a lot of the people who work for the News of the World weren't in the office this afternoon, so I've been speaking to some who have been receiving calls at home, and they say they were given no indication at all about the future of their individual jobs. And one of the stories circulating the newsroom, we haven't been able to confirm this, is that the editor, Colin Myler, was just given 10 minutes notice of this. It's said to be absolutely livid, and there's one person told me there was a universal hatred for Rebecca Brooks for taking, quote, the I'm staying but I'm shutting you down approach.
All right, John, thanks very much for that. Now, let's get the weather forecast at 6:03. Here's Laura Tobin. Hi, Laura.
Hello there. Well, at the moment, we've got scattered showers affecting southeast England, East Anglia, Northern Ireland and Northern Scotland. They'll continue for much of this evening, but overnight tonight they will ease and fade away, turning dry by dawn. Most other places start the evening dry and stay dry throughout the night. The exception, Wales and southwest England, where from midnight onwards it turns cloudy with strengthening winds and heavy rain, gusts of 30 to 40 miles an hour. Now, as we head through to Friday for southwest England and Wales, after the wet start, the wet weather soon clears away, and then it's a day of blustery showers, sunny spells, but also the showers will be heavy with the risk of the odd rumble of thunder and very gusty, gusts of 30 to 40 miles an hour. For southeast England, the Midlands and eastern England, I think a generally rather cloudy start to the day. We'll see very wet weather sweeping in as we head through the morning, again clearing to showers through the afternoon. For northern England and for Northern Ireland, sunny spells initially turning cloudy with heavy rain developing through the afternoon, but light winds here. And for Scotland, it's a story of sunshine and showers. Highs typically 18 to 20 degrees.
Laura, thanks very much for that. Just hearing from Downing Street on tonight's main news. What matters, and this is from a Downing Street spokesman, what matters is that all wrongdoing is exposed and those responsible for these appalling acts are brought to justice. as the Prime Minister has made clear he is committed to establishing rigorous public inquiries to make sure this never happens in our country again. That's the word just in from Downing Street. Don't forget Steve Hewlett, who was with us earlier in the programme. He will be here with a media show special tomorrow lunchtime, replacing you and yours. Tomorrow lunchtime from midday, Steve Hewlett with a media show special. Much more, of course, in the 6 o'clock news in just a moment and in the World Tonight here on Radio 4 at 10. I shall leave you with an email we've received from Harry, who says, regarding the news of the world, is it a case of we made our excuses and left? This is PM. I'm Eddie Mayer. We'll see you tomorrow at 5. Have a good evening.